The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's music time with John Cadell from RockyLike.com and Larissa Nolan. And just to let you know, we have tickets to give away for All Together Now. I'll give you the details of how to enter the great competition in just a few moments because, John, I think it's fair to say there's a hell of a lineup for this new festival, which I suspect is threatening to outdo Electric Picnic with the lineup.
Well, it's it started last year. It was John Reynolds.
The
late John Reynolds' final new vision, I suppose, and harking back to the early days of Electric Picnic in that it's more of a boutique festival. It's got a lot of different types of stages, a lot of eclectic artists, but some big names. Like, it's hard to imagine now, but Electric Picnic started with 10,000 people.
Yeah, and I think this is what he was trying to gather back, wasn't it? He was trying to say, you know, because a lot of people found that it's now, what is Electric Picnic, 50, 60,000 people.
Yes, yeah.
So it's kind of become, you'd hear sometimes people saying that Electric Picnic has become like the old Oxygen. Do you remember that in Punchestown?
Yeah.
So then it's kind of like, then there's this space for people who actually want the boutique. It's not boutique anymore. And I think this came in, and there's so many people I know who, like me, and probably like the rest of you, were at the first Electric Picnics and the early ones, and they were absolutely thrilled with this.
It was
the festival of the summer, I think, no doubt.
Well, it got a huge positive reaction last year, the Altogether Now. And anyway, to get to the point, yes, some great artists have been
announced. Well, actually, we'll just see now. We'll play little bits and pieces. I think the headliners, it's fair to say, are The National.
Stay out super late tonight, picking apples, making pies. Put a little something in our lemonade and take it with us. We'll laugh away in a fake empire. We're half awake in a fake empire. Tiptoe through our shiny city with our diamond slippers on. Do our gay ballet mess. Bluebirds on our shoulders. We're half awake in a fake empire. We're half awake in a fake empire.
Now, I saw The National last year in Donnybrook, outdoor gig, and I think I would have preferred to have seen them indoors.
Yeah, they have the sort of intimate quality that, not that they're lost on an outdoor stage, but I think you would always love to see The National indoors. Now, I wouldn't be a massive fan of the band, as we've discussed before.
And
in this
neither
show,
would I at all.
But they do have, they certainly have that certain something. They have that, I'm not going to call it star quality, it's a bit vulgar to say The National of star quality, but they definitely have something special.
But isn't there this weird thing about The National, though, and I know, Matt, you're a real fan, a genuine fan, but didn't they become this kind of band that it was the thing to say that I love The National, even though, like, half the time I used to imagine that people saying, oh, we're going to The National next week, yeah, you're not going. You know, and you're like, have you actually even heard any of their music? Half the time you'd wonder. It seemed to be more of a vogue. Do you know what I mean about it?
I was so underwhelmed by it. But now I think it was the experience of so many people just drinking and talking their way through the gig as well.
Yeah.
That, which has become a thing that I was sort of going, hang on a second. You know, yes, go with your friends and enjoy it and the rest of it, but listen to the music.
Do you know,
as
that's
well.
A real signifier. You've hit on something, because I said the same thing about LCD Sound System at the Olympia. I was thinking, why are all these people moving around and going to the toilet and buying drinks? You know, these people who were so excited to go and see LCD Sound System and then couldn't actually stand in the one place and not talk and watch them.
That annoyed me intensely last year at the Stranglers, who are my favourite band in the Olympia. And people just move in the whole time. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, they're
it's like going to a football match and deciding to wander in and out while the game is going on to get pints or whatever. And you go, well, hang on a second.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Have your drinks beforehand. Have your drinks afterwards. Watch the shagging match.
I agree.
And the same applies to concerts. Go and watch the concert or listen to the concert.
Yeah, but
watch it.
Everybody likes to have a drink, whether it be alcoholic or otherwise, watching a gig. But there did seem to be an inordinate amount of people just baffing around.
Yeah. Pint in one hand, phone trying to video it in the other hand.
Craning their neck.
While talking to somebody beside them.
Invading your personal space looking for their mates.
Yeah, but you can get up the front now really easy because before phones, you couldn't get up the front, right? Because everybody would be jammed together and they hadn't been there since the night before nearly in their place. And now everybody just to have a phone, so they have to let you out of the way. So you can literally just walk right up. And try it the next time. You can walk right up to the front row of any concert you like now due to phones because there isn't the atmosphere up the front that there used to be.
Yeah.
Terrible, actually. Terrible.
Okay, well, let's hear a little bit of somebody else who's coming to play. Now, this is a real 70s icon.
Yes.
This may be perhaps her most famous song, which is a cover of a Bruce Springsteen song.
Yeah.
This is Patti Smith, Because the Night.
Take me now, baby, here as I am. Pull me close, try and understand. Desire is hunger, is the fire I breathe. Love is a banquet on which we feed.
That is one of my all-time favourite songs. It's brilliant. Now, listeners taking issue with me saying that she wrote the song and Springsteen covered it. I thought Springsteen wrote it and she covered it.
Springsteen wrote it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Springsteen wrote it.
Yes.
For That's... her, I think.
And then he,
and then he did it himself afterwards.
He did it live. I think there's a live version of it. Yeah, but he definitely wrote it.
Okay.
Well, I absolutely love that song. But the song that, for me, is Horses, which is such an unbelievably... different song, such a revolutionary spirit of it. I love what Courtney Love said about it. She said that the song Horses made her realise that you could actually be rebellious without having to resort to felonies or doing, you know, kind of drugs or whatever. I'm sure the drugs part maybe was left behind in the end. But she was saying that it was the spirit of revolution in the song itself. And it's the song that made Michael Stipe form REM. He was inspired by that. But I just remember the first time seeing that, and she was on the old Grey Whistle Test. Mm. And she's such an icon for me. I mean, she's a huge inspiration, same as she is for Madonna, Shirley Manson, Kim Gordon. All these women are completely enchanted with her. I'm the same. I just think she is a style icon, music artist, you know, activist. For me, that she has everything, and she has never ever been self-righteous which is wonderful.
There was a great moment at the Q Awards a few years ago where I think Bono was presenting her with the Icon Award, and he was going on in a speech about how Patti Smith, in my teenage years, you were my mother, you were my lover, you were my
he adores
idol.
Her, yeah.
And she got up on stage and went, Bono, I'm not here to be your mother or your lover or anything effing else, so quit.
Yeah,
like, give it up.
And that's her. She's like the anti-feminist feminist. You know, she says, I'm not a feminist, I'm a humanitarian, I believe in equal rights for all. And I just love that spirit about her. But most of all, she rocks. I mean, anyone who brings in Rimbo into a song like she did in Horses, I mean, that's just an amazing, amazing moment. Absolutely love Patti Smith. I will be there to see her.
Okay, listener comments coming in. Saw the National in Phoenix Park a few years ago. Awful gig. Felt like I was at a party I wasn't invited to. Bloody hipsters everywhere. However, Carol Ann says, the National, no star quality. What? I'm a huge fan. Amazing gig at the Three Arena a few years ago. Yes, definitely brilliant. Indoors.
No, let me correct that. I said I didn't want to use the term star quality because I thought applying to a band like the National, it just seemed a bit vulgar or inappropriate. But yes, I said they definitely have something special.
Okay, listener says, Patti Smith did write it.
Did
Springsteen
she?
Had the chorus written and she built the song around it.
Okay. Isn't that terrible now that I didn't know that? And me being such a big fan as well.
Okay. Let me see. There's a few other ones here I want to get to because actually people are reacting to what I said about concerts. Totally with you. This is Caroline again about people talking through gigs. It's the days of disposable incomes and buying a ticket to a gig as an excuse to socialise and chat rather than appreciating a band's music. Drives me crazy too. I always feel for the band or musician. No respect. can never get over how many people are videoing songs at gigs instead of taking in the music.
That gets me.
And video is usually crap when you look back at it.
Whoever looks back on it, nobody.
Like, what would ever happen to just having memories? Like, put your phone down. I don't want to see the gig through your phone screen.
Unfortunately, I found that's the way gigs have gone in this country. Lauryn Hill was the last gig I will ever go to. Standing drunk people falling all over the place, talking. I don't understand people pay €70 to go to a gig and do something they can do in the pub.
Well, it's probably the ones who haven't paid the 70 quid who are doing all the yapping. You know, I will go to this, I got a free ticket. But, you know.
Listener said, I saw First Aid Kit in Malmo. Nobody near me wandered in or out. Everyone just listened.
Well, that's,
listened or enjoyed or bop around the place as well, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very rare that you get that anymore, though. It really is. It's the phones thing. But it's also this idea of the concert being an event that you have to say that you were at.
As opposed to going because you love the music.
Yeah,
lots of listeners about Bruce Springsteen, Patti. Bruce wrote it with credited input from Patti Smith, says Brian in Waterford. Another one says, according to Google search, it's a collaboration between Springsteen and Smith. Bruce wrote
we need
it,
to get
not,
Senator George Mitchell on this.
Hold on. Bruce wrote it, but not for Patti. Jimmy Levine was producing Patti and working with Bruce and asked for the song as a lead for Horses, the album.
So Bruce did write it. Did he or not? We don't know. We'll
don't
have to get back
even,
to you on this.
I don't think even Bruce and Patti know who wrote it this thing.
Springsteen wrote it. Heard Patti Smith and thought she'd be a great job for it. Patti Smith credits him for launching
her
career.
There's a massive bang of Springsteen off. No, well, she shouldn't because she was knocking around the New York scene since the early
70s. Punk poet
scene. Absolutely.
Late 60s, in fact.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Jesus, would you stop moaning and talk about music? Times have changed. Move on.
No, we are. But if times changed means and really a bad experience, when you used to have this euphoric experience that could actually lift you out of any kind of depression you'd have and change your life, well, then that is not a good thing and it needs to be changed.
Playing at All Together Now, which we're going to give away tickets for in a moment, Hot Chip. I'd imagine there's a hot chip would be fantastic for an outdoor festival. You could just bop away to your heart's content.
Well, I think at least they're going to bring this lineup up a bit. You know what I mean? So that you can actually put a bit of sort of verve into it. Because if you look at the other artists, you have the Good, the Bad and the Queen as well.
Yeah.
And you have, as we said, the National. They're all quite serious, whereas this is kind of the fun one. But do you know the other thing I was just thinking? When I think of hot chip, I think of the mid-2000s and the same as kind of the National and the same as the Good, the Bad and the Queen. So there is a kind of a 10-year-old sort of... Are these actually still as relevant as they used to be? That's the only thing I would wonder.
Well, I don't know if they're bands of the moment anymore, but they're certainly bands who have a legacy and who have a history and who there's a big appetite to see. I suppose they have that sort of pedigree from the last few years.
Okay, let me tell you some of those who are playing it all together now. The National, Patti Smith, Hot Chip, as we said, Father John Misty.
Great.
Big favourite of yours.
Yeah.
The Good, the Bad and the Queen. We have Nina Cherry.
Love her.
Lisa Hannigan. Little Green Cars. There's a whole load of fantastic acts. My favourite Massive Attack track is definitely Unfinished Sympathy. But Mezzanine, the album from 21 years ago, I think is going to be the feature of next Sunday night's concert.
Yeah.
So let's hear a little bit of Teardrop.
Teardrop on the fire, fear.
Ah, that's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Liz Fraser on vocals, and she will be there in the Three Arena singing with Massive Attack.
And this and is the most exciting part.
It is. She's pretty special. We spoke about her before when this gig was announced, that she, there was rumoured to be a Cocteau Twins reunion tour, but at the last minute she backed out because of stage fright. So to have her on stage with Massive Attack is incredible.
I remember when they started working with her, because if memory serves, they'd Blue Lines, first of all, she wasn't on that album. She was on the Mezzanine,
Protection.
I forget which album was called anyway, but she came in at some point with this song. And I remember thinking, is that the same Liz Fraser as Liz Fraser from Cocteau Twins? Mm. I couldn't believe it. One of my favourite bands as a very young woman was Cocteau Twins, and this delicious swirly music they do with even their own language. Mm. I mean, I think there's an album they have called Heaven or Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I couldn't recommend it highly enough.
It's
brilliant.
Dream
album.
Pop.
Dream Pop. I love that. Excellent. Okay, we're not going to play any more Massive Attack because we don't have time. We need your picks of the week. John, what's yours?
Mine is a band called Stats, and their new album is called Other People's Lives. It's sort of like electro-poppy with a great groove, and it's out on Memphis Industries. And I think we're going to play the title track. By Gary Newman.
Is it all as good as that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to listen to that. That sounds great.
I'm loving it. And the cover is great as well.
Yeah, it's like fantastic. Made for like
10p. There's an artistic cover of a beautiful woman holding a beautiful baby, and then they're all kind of really fussed over the whole family thing. So it's a mixture of that, you know, what you see and what is the reality.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I'd say that sounds like the music to me.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, what's your pick of the week?
So mine is the one and only Chaka Khan has an album out again after many years. I think maybe 10 years is the last one she had out. But this new album is called Hello Happiness. I think we're going to use the title track, I think.
No, I think we actually have Like Sugar.
Like Sugar was the first single from it.
Few people to improve a Prince song. I don't know if you saw, I retweeted it myself, there was a quote going around during the week from Chaka Khan saying, these A&R men told me we need you to sound like Mary J. Blige. Chaka Khan goes, well then y'all need to get Mary J. Blige and leave me the F alone.
Well, I mean, no one compares to Chaka Khan. I think she probably has the most powerful voice of her genre in the world today. How brilliant. And what she's done here, I think, is a very modern kind of sound in that the way the early 90s is modern now.
But it's like they've done a Johnny Cash with her, with the American recordings, brought her back to remind people how great she is. Sort of like with sort of not
so good,
familiar beats, but sort of like, you know, her sort of, this is what Chaka Khan sounds like, this is how great she is, this classic Chaka
great
Khan.
Percussion and great production. I love that.
Great choices, this picks of the week. I'm going to definitely go off and listen to those. Thank you, Larissa Nolan, John Cadell.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.